Wanting to inject a little variety into the proceedings, this middle hour of the show will be devoted to several old-time radio programs. I'm not trying to copy him, but my friend Randy Bryan follows this format on his show, Forward Into the Past, which is heard over KSPC in Claremont. We have a bit of a clash in that KSPC and KISL share the same frequency of 88.7, so our coverages overlap a bit in some areas of Southern California, but fortunately our programs don't go head-to-head. Forward Into the Past is on Sundays from 2 to 5 in the afternoon, and if you're a fan of old-time radio, that's one source. Another source for old-time radio is a show called Don't Touch That Dial, hosted by my friends Bob Lines and Barbara Sunday. Don't Touch That Dial is the longest-running old-time radio program west of the Mississippi, and it's heard the first Monday of each month from midnight to 3 a.m. on KPFK-FM 90.7. And I've had the privilege of being a guest on that show. There are 5 Mondays in July this year, so they won't be on tomorrow night, but a week from tomorrow, August 6th. Again, if you're a fan of OTR, as we call it, I urge you to check it out. Fortunately for those of you who are not Nighthawks and can't make it to 3 a.m., the show is archived for a limited period on KPFK.org. Bob and Barbara were gracious enough to provide a couple of these programs we're going to hear this hour. Well, the first one anyway. I asked Barbara to search her vast archive of shows for something having to do with 12 or dozen, and she came up with an episode of Bold Venture called A 12-Year-Old Promise. I believe it's from July 23rd, 1951. Not exactly 20s and 30s, but the sound quality is excellent. Bold Venture was different in that it wasn't done live, but tape-recorded in takes with post-production and sound effects added later. The 30-minute program stars Humphrey Bogart as Slate Shannon, owner of a small, quasi-respectable hotel in Havana, Cuba, and Lauren Bacall as his sidekick and ward, Sailor Duval, described as a smart-talking, tender-hearted young woman. The series had a big budget of $12,000 per episode, with $4,000 going to the Bogarts. So here, without further ado, is Bold Venture. Don't touch that dial.
Bold Venture. Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Together in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean, Bold Venture. Once again, the magic names of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall bring you Bold Venture and a tale of mystery and intrigue.
Slate, I just had a thought.
Well, let you and me keep it to yourself, huh? Till I finish totaling up the hotel expenses for the day.
Sure. How can a man think about two things at once when he's pitting his brain against an adding machine?
Well, this one's shifty. I've got to watch it.
You and your army surplus bargains. What's it doing to you this time?
Look at that. Look at that total.
$49,685 for a day's expenses? That's what I always say about you, Slate. You've sure got a head on your shoulders.
Well, that was just a trial run. I'm going to have at it once more. What did you pay for the cake you bought for that dinner party?
I told you, 10 pesos.
You could have got it for 6 at Senora Sanchez's delicatessen.
The last time I was there, Senora Sanchez made me help her fold strudel.
Now, look, sailor. One of the reasons I went into the hotel business was so that at the end of a day's work, I could cuddle up with a clear buck. To save 4 pesos, you could have folded a strudel or two.
Mr. Slate, there are 2 men here who...
Don't bother to tell him, boy. We'll work it out together. Him and me and Rhino here.
Yeah, together. And the lady, too. All right, then it'll be a party.
All we need is one more guest, Matt Wallace. Invite him, Slate. It won't be fun without him.
Matt Wallace. Well, I haven't seen Matt in... Oh, see, it must be 10, 12 years in Dallas. We were working the oil fields together, dreamed we'd strike it one day. You're telling me Matt's here in Havana? Yeah, I'd like to see him.
You will, Slate. Honest, you will. Rhino and me's got a feeling he's going to come here and throw his arms around his old buddy. We want to be here to watch.
Yeah, we got a feeling we want to watch.
We'll let you know when Matt comes, if he comes. Goodbye, boys. Sorry to break up the party.
She said goodbye. The lady said goodbye.
King!
Yes, Mr. Slate. I escort them out for you. Come on, you two.
Rhino, the boy wants to play. Play with him, Rhino.
I like you, Ray. You're good to me. Let's play, boy.
You did the wrong thing, Mr.
Island. This is a nice party. Games and everything.
Slate, get him off, King. You...
No, Slate. My gun might bite you. Let the boys have their fun till Matt comes up.
I hope he don't come for a long time, Ray. For a long time.
Ray? Ray, is that you? I'm in the kitchen. Well, how did... Oh, Matt. You came back.
I won't ask you anything about Ray.
What do you want?
You're my wife, Vi. I want you to listen to me.
About what?
Let's give Shannon all of it, Vi.
Oh, you're crazy.
Listen, Vi, we don't need it. Deed the oil strike to Shannon. Get out of here. Go someplace. There's a million places, Vi. I'll show them all to you. We haven't given ourselves a chance, you'll
just
see.
Just tell me a thing, will you? What's Slate Shannon got to do with you?
12 years ago, we gave each other a promise.
You're crazy, Matt. You really are. The man I took for a husband is out of his mind.
You don't know Shannon. He'd have done the same for me.
He'd strike oil and give you half for a 12-year-old promise?
Shannon would.
Oh, if you'd only tell me where, Matt. Just tell me where you made the strike so I'll know. In case
In case anything happens to me, forget it.
I try to all the time. I can't sleep worrying about something might happen to you.
Oh, Vi, listen to me. Just listen.
You'd better get out of here, husband.
All right. To Shannon. Like I said I would.
I hope you make it, husband.
I told you once, Rhino. Don't make me tell you again. Leave the boy's guitar alone.
Oh, Ray, I gotta keep doing something with my hands, you know that. Just waiting around makes me edgy.
Don't pout, Rhino. Maybe he'll find you someone else to beat up, to fill in the gap, till Matt Wallace gets here.
You'd do that for your boy, wouldn't you, Ray? Toss him a bone like that?
Any time he cries for it, you'll remember, huh?
How can he forget? You always referee Rhino's matches with a gun, Ray? In some crazy places, that could be called no contest.
My boy's fast, but sometimes he's outweighed. The gun evens it up. I have to take care of my boy.
King could take him in a round, couldn't you, King?
He's strong, Mr. Slate. It might take longer than that.
You're a smart boy. Rhino cuts you to pieces. People, Rhino is smart enough that way. Still, I'd like to match you two for real sometimes. But some other time. Well, look who's here. Hello, Matt. Kept us waiting.
Slate. It's been 12 years. I counted them.
Me too, Matt.
Meet your reception committee, Matt. Ray and Rhino. Funny songs, witty sayings.
Ray? I've heard that name. A little while ago, my wife called me Ray.
A woman gets confused sometimes. Ray, Matt, close enough. This won't take long, Matt. What we've been waiting for. Just tell me where you made the oil strike, and we can part friends.
You made a strike, Matt? You come to tell me that?
Yeah, kid. All those years, I finally made it. But it's just for you and me. No one else.
Hear that, Rhino? It's gone to his head. The man's oil happy.
Yeah, to his head, oil happy.
Tell us where you made it, Matt, or I'll sick Rhino on you.
Cost me too much. Cost me too many years. You left a...
Rhino!
Yeah.
Oh, sleep, slap!
You fool, Rhino! You crazy, stupid fool! Fight to shoot him. We'll never...
You told me. You said...
Get out of here, quick.
King, help me with him.
He's alive, Lady Sailor. We get him to doctor.
Take care of him. I'm going after them.
Wait. There's a piece of paper in my pocket. Slate's half. It belongs to it. tell him I get the doctor.
Get a police doctor, King. It's more in his line. You've been gone for a long time, Slate. What happened?
I lost him. How's Matt?
They took him away on a stretcher. The doctor doesn't know whether he'll live or die.
He'll live. All they have to do is give him a piece of adhesive tape and point in the direction of home.
The police were here, too. Wrote in little black books. Asked questions. Wanted to know where you were.
What'd you tell them?
I raised an eyebrow and smiled archly. The police giggled and nudged each other.
You don't know I was here when the shooting happened, huh?
No. They kept hitting each other with their elbows. I had to remind them what they came for.
Uh-huh.
Who's Matt Wallace, Slade?
Guy. I used to know him.
He gave me something for you. Here. This.
16 Avenida Charles, Havana, Cuba. I, Matt Wallace, do hereby deed to Slate Shannon.
He's giving you 50% of an oil field. I read it. What are you looking out of the window for, Slate? Slate, I'm talking to you.
Hmm? You say something?
Who's Matt Wallace? Why did he...
50%. What do you... Oh.
What's the matter with you? Who's Matt Wallace? What's all this about?
Okay. Imagine a guy like that, sailor.
Like what?
12 years ago, Matt and I worked the oil fields together. 12 years ago, we gave up, Matt and I. We shook hands. We told each other if we ever hit, half of it would belong to the other. Then we walked away. What do you know? Matt remembered. An oil strike.
Hey, where are you going? What do you want?
I'm a friend of Matt Wallace's. I thought...
How'd you find me?
Well, this address was scribbled on a piece of paper Matt gave me. I didn't know you came with it. If I'd known, I'd have got here sooner.
That'd make you Slate Shannon. Come on in. You can close your eyes to how the place looks. I've been tearing it apart. The cheap way they make things nowadays, easy to tear apart.
That's how you feel about Matt. You rip open his upholstery?
I'm his wife. He hides things from me.
Like where he made his oil strike.
You see right through a girl, don't you, Slate? The things she wants, the people she wants to divvy him with.
Now, you take me. I'm not like that at all. Matt says I get half. There's a pact we made. I'm selfish. I don't want to share it with anybody.
Oh, but you will with me. For a reason I've got.
That's a good reason. Now try me with another one.
You're a lot like Matt. You have to be bled for your secrets. Ray!
Glad you joined us, Ray. I've been looking for you.
Want me to do something for you, Vi?
The man's got a tight mouth. Take him someplace and it'll loosen it for him.
Anything for you, Sugar. It'll be easy, Slate. I'll take you to Rhino. You can ride along on this gun.
Sorry, Vi. The man's got me over a barrel. Bye, Sugar.
Okay, Shannon, out of the car.
Yeah, you don't budge. Out, friendly, the man says. See how nice he can do with a little help? He learns easy, Ray.
On your feet, Shannon. You're going to say where Wallace made that strike, or are we going to leave you here on the beach for the gulls?
The gulls will get you if you don't watch out. Funny, ain't it funny, Shannon? Laugh. I said laugh.
You don't know what you're doing.
Where's the strike?
I don't know. I keep telling you.
Rhino, you remember Kansas City?
When I had the main goat? Sure, I remember.
Tell Shannon. Tell him.
Listen good, Shannon. I threw two rights. Like this. then the big one. Did you see, Ray? Just like in Kansas City.
Yeah. I'll say a word or two and I'll throw some sand in his face.
Adventure. Our stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, and the second act of our story.
Miss Sailor, she got a big suspicion. Say to King Moses, go on a mission. Find Sledge Shannon wherever he be. In Barrio on beach, bring him to me. King Moses, he look all over place. Find Mr. Shannon with sand in face. Bring him home to Lady Sailor. Now his head need very fine tailor.
He's home, King Moses, but his heart's not in it. Something's happened to Slate Shannon. He's been walking up and down on that patio for an hour now.
He done that before, Lady Sailor.
He's thinking about things, remembering things. Things that happened a long time ago. I felt like I was watching a stranger. This fever for oil.
King! Hey, King!
Yes, Mr. Slate?
Hi, Slate.
Hello. King, what'd you do with my gun?
It's in the...
Don't tell him. Slate, why don't you talk to me? What's happened to you that you need a gun?
Off the arm, Sailor. Come on, come on. Where's the gun? You going to tell me, King, or am I going to have to convince you?
Miss Sailor...
Tell him.
I'll get it, Mr. Slate. Here, the gun.
So now you own an oil strike, Slate. What are you going to do? Kill people from the sheer joy of it?
I don't know where the strike is. I can't claim it.
Why don't you ask Matt?
The hospital won't let me see him. He's unconscious. He'll probably die.
You're going to help him along with a gun?
Look, Sailor... Matt liked to talk. Somewhere in Havana, he must have dropped a word. I'm going to find out where. See you.
You were right not to call out to him, Miss Sailor. He had the look of a man to whose stopping could not be done.
He had the look of a man who ought to be banged over the head with a blunt instrument.
You will wait for him?
No. I'm going to share it with him. Like the man said, see you.
You loused it, Ray. You and your ape Rhino loused it.
Be kind to us, Sugar. If Slate didn't spill after what Rhino did to him, he never will.
You should have been there to see me by. I was gone, Kurt. It's just that the punk washed out on me before.
And what
I
you could... did to Matt. That was bright, too, huh? Shutting his mouth with a bullet.
Here he's in a hospital, alive. Rhino could pry his mouth open again.
He could die, too, without making a sound.
Yeah, it's possible.
Maybe half a million in oil. A girl could buy a moon for that and all the little moons. Only she doesn't know where it is.
Maybe we know someone who does, Sugar.
Who?
The girl is known as Sailor Duval. She was alone with Matt when Slate ran after us, after we shot your husband.
You think he told her?
He must have thought he was dying. Matt tells a girl a lot of things when he's dying. Especially about a long dream that came true.
All right, get her. Talk to her.
See how easy it is when you're nice, Sugar? Let's go, Rhino. Bring your fist.
Gee, Senor Shannon, such a man as you have described was here to eat on my blue plate.
And what did he say? What did he talk about?
Senor.
You don't have to get cagey with me, Pedro. What did he tell you about the oil?
Aye, the oil. He said not too much on the salad.
I'm going to have to beat it out of you, Pedro.
Senor, you have passed where the bells are rung.
Nice going, brave man. 6 more inches and Pedro will top 5 feet.
What do you want, Sailor?
I'm worried about you.
Do something clever with a handkerchief. Cry in it.
Come on, Slate. You've been going to these places all night. What's it gotten you?
It's gotten me you. Stop following me. Get out of here.
Slate, you've got to listen to me.
I don't have to listen to you. I don't have to listen to anybody. Get out of here.
All right, Slate.
Hey, you're difficult to keep up with, Miss Duval.
Well, Ray, get away from here. It's been a bad night.
Then let's get out of it. Let's say hello to each other at my place. It's not much what we ask, Miss Duval. Just a few pretty words out of your pretty lips.
Yeah, pretty lips.
Why, Rhino, I didn't think you cared for things like that. I thought with you it was just broken bones.
Anyone's, Mr. Vile, even yours. Isn't that so, Rhino?
Stop putting words in the man's mouth.
Even yours, Mr. Val, just like Ray said.
Just tell us what Matt told you.
As near as I can remember, all he did was groan.
And after that, he told you where he made his oil strike.
After that, all he did was groan. Like this.
That's a good word. You pronounce it good. But Rhino can teach you to do it better.
I'm with you, kid. Sure he could. But it's all Matt told me.
Maybe it is. Maybe Slate Shannon would be a better teacher. Better than Rhino, even.
You're going to get Slate to beat me up?
Just to die for you, Mr. Vell. That's all we'll ask him to do. Just die. Right in front of you.
King Moses is happy to see you come home, Mr. Slate.
I'm tired.
And Miss Sailor, she is very tired, too?
Sailor?
Did she not come home with you?
No, isn't she home?
Maybe she still look for you.
She found me a dozen times. I finally got rid of her.
Rid of Lady Sailor? This you will never do. You send her away, she will come back. If she not come back, you will go for her. No thing will change this. Not you. Nor the oil that makes a madness in you.
You don't know how it is. Slate Shannon speaking. What? Yeah. Yeah, sure. Right away. I was the hospital king.
Lady Sailor, something happened?
The best thing in the world has happened. Matt Wallace just regained consciousness. He wants to talk to me.
About the oil, Mr. Slade? Do not go to him.
Don't go to him? What's the matter? Have you gone crazy, too? Hi, Matt. Treating you good?
Yeah. Took a long time coming to see me here in the hospital.
They wouldn't let me in. Said you were unconscious. Said you were dying. Where is it, Matt? Where'd you make the strike? What's to laugh? We wasted the sweet part of our lives looking for oil. You found it. Half of it's mine, like we agreed. Like we made a solemn oath. I want my half, Matt.
There isn't any oil. Never was. Game I played with myself.
You're lying. You don't want me in on it.
You're wrong. There's a hole in Brazil. A deep, deep hole. With brine at the bottom, salty to the taste. Take it, kid. It's yours, all of it.
What are you talking about?
Did a lot for me, Slate, that empty hole in the earth. I told her I'd struck oil someplace in South America. Kept my wife loving me. I held its promise up to her nose. For that, she loved me. For that, she tried to get me killed.
Yeah, with a deed you gave Sailor, what kind of a thing was that to do to me?
I thought you'd help me, Slate. Help me keep up my little game so my wife would keep on loving me. Not Ray. Not anyone.
You look tired, kid. You better get some sleep.
Yeah. You too. Don't give it up, Slate. I'll find it. I'll still find it. You'll see.
Sure you will, Matt. Sure you will.
And it won't take 12 years this time, Slate. I got an idea. A hunch.
Have a nice visit with the sick, Mr. Shannon.
Huh? Oh, yeah, Rhino. I sure did. You should have been here.
I'm polite. I wait for you outside in the hall. You're going on another visit, friendy.
You think so?
I don't think Ray does that for me. Ray, or the gun in your back, or just my bare hands. See the hospital sign, friendy?
Says quiet.
That's how I want you should be, quiet. Let's go, friendy.
Hey, how'd you get here, Sailor?
When you threw me away, a man came up and took my arm.
I'm sorry for that.
Slate?
Yeah?
Go shove your head in a derrick.
Miss Duval says she doesn't know where the oil is either, Shannon.
Why bother her? I know.
You didn't know a little while ago.
Man gets older, he learns more.
It works this way, Shannon. You tell me where the oil strike is, you and the girl here join hands and skip all the way home.
If I don't, you kill me, huh?
Both of you. You and the lady. One at a time. Rhino can do it without blood.
Yeah. Yeah, he was telling me on the way down. 20 fights, 18 knockouts. One man died.
Yeah, one man.
Where'd that happen, Rhino?
Toledo, my best fight.
I wish I could have been there watching you. I'll bet you were great.
They never forgot me in Toledo, did they, Ray?
Where's the strike, Shannon?
I wish you could have seen the newspaper clipping.
Yeah, me too.
You're going to say where, Shannon?
They talked about it, wrote about it, took my picture with a movie actress. They called her a starlet. I was great in Toledo.
Show me what happened in Toledo.
Huh?
Shannon, what are you building?
Come on, Rhino, show me a great fighter like you. Show me on Ray so I can see what happened.
Huh?
Take him, Rhino. Take Ray like you did with that guy in Toledo so I can see what you did.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're crazy. You're punch-drunk crazy, man. Stay away from me.
I just want to show him, Ray. It was like this. The old corkscrew.
The maniac. Keep away.
Then the one toe.
The Rhino.
Then downstairs. In the ask. That's how I was. And then later, the other guy laying on the deck. But the other guy didn't even get to me. Not like this.
You're such a smart man, Slate. You open your mouth and people drop like flies.
I'm not done yet. There's another one, a woman.
Vi Wallace? What are you going to do to her?
Just mention her name to the police. Go on home, sailor.
You told me that before. Look what happened.
I told you I was sorry. You can stay if you believe me.
I believe you. You're sure it's all over, Slate? The oil, the fever for it.
Who needs oil? I've got everything I need.
Like what?
A hotel, a boat, a friend, King Moses.
What else?
You.
That's my old Slate. See what it gets you?
Yeah, sure. What'd you say, sailor?
You've got a faraway look in your eye.
They're wildcatting oil in Brazil. I read about it.
You're going to Brazil? Goodbye.
How can I go when I've got you around my neck?
No, you haven't.
Give me your arms. Now I have.
Better than wildcatting.
I don't know. I never kissed a wildcat.
And so our two stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, have brought to a close our latest Bold Venture story. Special music was composed and conducted by David Rose. May we invite you to listen again next week at this time for another exciting adventure starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall together in Bold Venture.
You're listening to Glenn Robison's Rapidly Rotating Records, 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 1930s, and music to which you can't not tap your toes. Sunday evenings at 6 on Island Radio KISL-FM Avalon, or anytime at all, streaming online at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com.
If you're a little confused by the programming that's going on right now, this is a special 3-hour 12th anniversary edition of Rapidly Rotating Records, and we're devoting this middle hour to a couple of old-time radio shows. The next old-time radio show we've got for you is the Fred Allen Show from May 26, 1946, titled King for a Day. The Fred Allen Show was on the air in several different iterations from its debut on CBS October 23, 1932 as the Linnet Bath Review, sponsored by Linnet Bath Soap, to June 26, 1949 on NBC, sponsored by the Ford Motor Company. It starred Fred Allen and his wife Portland Hoffa and a cast of characters, many of whom you'll hear in this episode. The guest on this show is Jack Benny, with whom Alan had a running feud on the air since 1926, and this ends with Benny literally losing his pants. So here, without further ado, is the Fred Allen Show. Don't touch that dial.
It isn't one of the old hickory singers, kiddies.
The makers of Bluebonnet Margarine and Tenderleaf Tea present the Fred Allen Show, with Fred's guest, Mary Livingston's husband, Portland Hopper, Minerva Pius as Mrs. Nussbaum, Alan Reed as Falstaff Openshaw, Parker Fenley as Titus Moody, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And until I start tooting the claghorn, my name is Kenny Delmar. Ladies and gentlemen, Shakespeare said, to be or not to be. Benjamin Franklin said, remember, time is money. But for the last 8 months, all I've said is, here he is again, Fred Allen.
Thank you and good evening. Thank you and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Kenny, I happen to overhear your opening remarks. Lad, if you are unhappy in your work...
Well, how can I be happy, Fred? Every Sunday, what do? I have one line. Here he is again.
Kenny, the man who invented the telephone only had one line when he started.
Yeah, but Fred, I'm not getting any place in radio. It's the same on my other show.
Oh, you're on another...
The Lucky Strike program.
Oh, the Lucky Strike program. What do you do on that?
You know when the man says LSMFT?
Yeah.
Then the tobacco auctioneer says, yatata, yatata, sold American.
Uh-huh.
Then a voice says, you bet.
You bet.
Another voice says, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
The voice that says, yes, sir, is mine.
You're beaten down on that show, too, huh? Kenny, why don't you give up that other job and just work on our show?
You mean you'll pay me the extra money?
No, Kenny, but I tell you what I shall do. I'll let you add the line you have on the Lucky Strike program to the line you have on our show. Put them together now and see how they sound.
Here he is again. Yes, sir.
How is that?
Well, that's more like it, Fred. Now I've got something to do.
As long as you're happy, Kenny.
Mr. Allen!
Well, pardon. Well, Portland, pull up an old rejoiner and sit down. What's new?
Mama says President Truman has taken over all the coal mines.
Does your mother need coal?
Yes. Mama's calling up the White House tomorrow and ordering 2 tons.
Oh, that's fine. Do away with the middleman. Go right to the top. Well, if she needs any wood, the president could sit down at the piano and give her a couple of chords, I imagine. Not good, huh? The man crept in here and did something to the script tonight. I won't mention his name.
Mama says the world today is a bowling alley.
The world is a bowling alley?
Every time you turn around, there's a strike.
Well, I'm glad. Anything you don't understand, applaud. It's perfectly all right. That's what they do in Hollywood. People come in, just applaud and get warm and go home. The trains are running again, Portland.
Yes, if the railroad strike lasted one more week,
yeah,
the Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe would have been off the hit parade.
Oh, that would have been terrible. Well, I think I'll run along, Portland. I have to get my magnifying glass and worm a crab apple.
Mama says Friday is your birthday.
That's right.
How old are you?
Nobody knows, Portland. I was born before the Decca Company started, so there weren't any records in those days.
Mama says...
Now, don't you laugh. Don't you stop. You're going to establish a precedent in here. I want to know about it. Come to me.
Mama says last year when the candles on your birthday cake melted down...
Yeah?
There was enough grease to wax the floor at Roseland.
Oh, I'm not that old, Portland.
Mama says if you were a piece of furniture, you'd be an antique.
Yeah. If I was an antique in radio, I'd be Duncan's other fife. Well... life, I guess, Portland.
Mama says life is like the Australian fig bird.
The Australian fig bird?
It lives on the seeds and figs.
But there aren't any figs in Australia.
The Australian fig bird dies at birth.
And the Australian fig bird has nothing on our jokes, let me tell you. I think we'd better get along to Allen's Alley, Portland.
What is your question tonight?
Well, recently, a Mr. Ralph Slater, a specialist in mental suggestion, made a phonograph record that he guarantees will put any insomniac to sleep. And so our question is, do you have any trouble sleeping? And if you do, what are you doing about it?
Shall we go?
As the dollar dinner said when the glutton sat down, I'll be gone in a minute. It's so good to get back to Allen's Alley, Portland. It's as quiet as a needle coiling in a bucket of whipped cream. Say, I wonder if the senator is in. Let's knock.
Somebody, I say, somebody knock.
Yes,
Claghorn's the name, Senator Claghorn, that
well, now,
is.
Look, I know.
Something tells me you don't remember me, sir.
Look, I remember
I'm
you.
I'm from the South. The Poon and Possum Paradise.
Now, look, Senator.
The only plant life I have around my house is a Virginia creeper.
Now, wait a minute.
Every time I get chicken pox, they're southern fried.
Senator.
Remember me now, son?
No.
Don't say no in my presence.
Why not?
N-O, that's North abbreviated.
Wait a minute, Senator. What about this sleeping problem?
When I first went to the Senate, I had plenty of trouble sleeping. After the roll was called, I'd put on my sail sucker nightshirt and my Lindsay Woolsey beret.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'd face the South, lean back, close my eyes.
And go to sleep, huh?
Until some Yankee pigeon plucker would get up, start flapping his lips, and break up my Morpheus filibuster. Filibuster, that is.
I heard you the first time, Senator. Are you still losing sleep? Senator?
No, I've solved my problem, son.
How?
When I'm ready to sleep in the Senate, I sit back and croon myself my southern lullaby.
What is your southern lullaby?
Rock-a-bye, small fry on the cotton tree top. When the southern wind blows, your cradle will rock. When the wind's from the north, I say, baby, you'll bawl. For down will come cradle tree and you are.
Well, very good, Senator. Go on. Well, the Senator stopped just in time. I was dozing off myself. Now, I wonder how Titus Moody is doing.
Howdy, bub.
You're starting to sound like Dennis Day, Titus. Do you have any trouble sleeping?
I only half sleep.
Half sleep?
I got short eyelids.
With short eyelids, you can't close your eyes, eh?
Only when I frown.
Oh, I see. Well, are you the only one awake on the farm?
No, daylight saving time has got everything in a swivet.
The animals are bewildered?
Yeah, my cow had insomnia.
Your cow didn't sleep at all?
The bags under her eyes were so big, I didn't know which end to milk.
You were confused, eh?
Yeah. First time I milked the wrong end and got two buckets full of homogenized tears.
Well, have you cured the cow's insomnia?
I got a book on hypnotizing.
Good.
I stood in front of the cow.
Yeah?
I stared right into her eyes.
Uh-huh.
I started waving with my hand.
Uh-huh.
I said, Alagazam, Alagazan. You ain't a cow, you're a hen.
You're a hen. Well, was your hypnotism a success?
Yeah. Today, that cow thinks she's a hen.
Well, how do you know?
Well, she's sitting on a nest.
You mean?
She's laying eggnogs. Come on, man.
Let's try this next door here.
No.
Oh, Mrs. Nussbaum.
You were expecting maybe Hoagy Carbuncle.
Tell me, Mrs. Ann, do you have trouble sleeping?
Who could sleep? Every night with his dreaming, my husband Pierre is waking me up.
He dreams, huh?
Always he has different things.
Dreams he's different things? How do you mean?
One night, Pierre is dreaming he is the lone stranger.
Yeah.
All night long, he's yelling, "Hi-ho, Silver!"
Hi-ho, Silver, huh?
Upstairs is living a Mr. Silver.
Yeah?
All night, he's yelling back, "Hi-ho, Nussbaum!" One night, Pierre is dreaming he is an automobile, a roadster.
A roadster?
In his pajamas, Pierre is sleeping with the top down.
Oh. Fine.
Once, he is dreaming he is an Alka-Seltzer.
An Alka-Seltzer?
All night, Pierre is fizzing.
Well, no wonder. No wonder you can't sleep.
Last night, he should drop dead.
What happened?
He is dreaming he is a tea kettle.
A tea kettle, huh?
All night long, Pierre is whistling.
Whistling?
In the morning when he is waking.
Yeah?
In bed with Pierre is 20 dogs.
Well, that brings us to the lavender shanty at the end of the alley. Let's try here.
You knock three times. Do you think that's nice? In my last picture, the postman rang twice.
Ah, Falstaff, you have new poems tonight?
Indubitably. Hast heard, said the little bear to the big giraffe, "Let's eat a hyena just for a laugh"?
No.
Or, when I called her baby, her face lit up because she had a lantern jaw?
No.
How about this? Mother's home putting spikes in her shoes. She's playing first base for Vera Cruz.
Now, wait a minute, Paul. You exponent of the hackney, tonight we are discussing the problem of sleep.
My poem awaits your bidding.
And what is your shut-eye sonata called?
My recipe for slumber.
How does it geek?
If you cannot sleep at night and you don't know what to do, my recipe for slumber is just the thing for you. Don't waste time taking powders. Don't bother counting sheep. Don't dawdle in a hot bath hoping you will sleep. Don't give up drinking coffee. Don't send for any gland man. You can eat and drink all night, and still you'll meet the Sandman. My recipe for slumber is older than the Sphinx. Just cut 20 tiddlies into halves, and you'll get 40 winks.
Well, thank you. As Falstaff runs for cover, we turn to Deep with the Marco sisters. Accompanied by Maestro Al Goodman, and as I haven't got a joke for them this week, Philharmonic, the DeMarco sing, "Doing What Comes Naturally."
Folks are dumb where I come from. They ain't had any learning. Still they're happy as can be, doing what comes naturally. You don't have to know how to read, all right, when you're out with a feller in the pale of moonlight. You don't have to come from a great big town, not to go picking berries in an evening gown. That comes naturally, that comes naturally.
My uncle out in Texas can't even write his name. He signs his checks with X's, but they cash them just the same. Psh.
Uncle Ben got angry when they caught him stealing chicken. I'm within my rights, said he.
A-doing
what comes naturally. Why naturally?
And now a simple suggestion.
A suggestion about something good to eat makes us all take notice, so here's one for the book. Be smart when you spend your food dollars, ladies. Get the most for your money. Get Bluebonnet Margarine, for it gives you flavor, nutrition, economy. All three. Yes, not just one, not just two, but all three. You get flavor, delicious flavor, fresh, delicate, country sweet. The fussiest eater in your family will tell you, "Gee, Mom, this tastes swell." Bluebonnet brings you proved nutrition, too. It's rich in food energy, rich in vitamin A. As for economy, you'll find Bluebonnet saves you real money. Costs just about half as much as an expensive table spread. And remember, Bluebonnet margarine is a product of the makers of Fleischmann's yeast, so you know it's pure, fresh, dependable. These days, your grocer doesn't always have Bluebonnet, for there's an acute shortage of table spreads. But keep asking. He'll have it. And when he does, grab it. Remember the letters FNE for flavor, nutrition, economy. Bluebonnet margarine gives all three. Flavor, nutrition, economy.
That was just a short order of Who Do You Love, I Hope, played by Maestro Al Goodman and his 40 men who...
This is Studio 6A,
wait a minute.
This glass booth is the control room.
Say, just a minute.
That little man with the mildew on him is a vice president.
Say, wait a minute. What is this?
This is a Radio City 60-cent tour. Okay, folks, let's get going. Hey, wait a minute. I got a stowaway here.
A stowaway in a tour?
Only 15 people paid. Now I got 60.
Who would be low enough to sneak into a tour to save 60 cents?
There's the guy. Hey, you!
Who, me?
Jack Benny. Jack,
I'm going to get 60 cents out of you.
Take your hand off my spine.
Come on.
Put me down. Yes, guide. Put Mr. Benny down. I'll give you the 60 cents.
Wait a minute, Fred. Wait a minute. Put that money away.
But, Jack.
I've only seen half the tour.
Well, Jack.
Give him 30 cents.
Here you are, guide.
Thanks. Follow me, folks. Now, on your right is a water cooler.
But, Fred, it was nice of you to pay that 30 cents.
Oh, it was nothing?
Nothing, he says. 30 cents.
Jack, how can you be so cheap?
All right, go ahead. Be like the other radio comedians. Tell some cheap jokes. Say I'm tighter than the skin on Sidney Greenstreet's hip. I squeeze a nickel so hard the E pluribus laps over the unum. Tell him.
Well, Jack, I didn't...
Oh, start insulting me after I made a special trip up here just to say goodbye before I leave for Hollywood.
Well, Jack, I...
All of a sudden, I'm cheap. I won't even eat in the sun. My shadow might ask me for a bite.
Your shadow has teeth? Jack, don't get excited. Look, if you're cheap, you're cheap.
That's the way I look at it. Some people save asparagus ends. It's a hobby. My hobby is not spending.
Well, Jack, if there ever was a time that you and I should not argue, this is the time.
What do you mean, this is the time?
Well, haven't you heard? A lot of the radio programs that have been on for many years have been canceled. They'll not be back on the air next fall.
Well, that's radio, Fred. It's dog eat dog. I always say, only the fit survive.
Oh, how true. By the way, you finished tonight, didn't you?
Yes, sirree. Tonight was my last show of the season.
Did your sponsor mention anything about your program coming back in October?
Well, no, Fred, but we have a mutual understanding. You see, we always sort of take it for granted.
Oh.
The season ends, the sponsor shakes hands with me, and then we... Yipe!
Jack, what's wrong?
Tonight he didn't shake hands.
That's what happened to the street singer. At the end of the year, his sponsor used to wink. One year, he didn't wink. The street singer was back in the street.
But, Fred, why should my sponsor want to get rid of me? Well, I'm funnier than I was when I started, and I'm getting less money.
Really?
Some weeks, when he's short, I take tobacco. I hate to get these big laughs on your program.
Let's face it, Jack. Radio needs new blood. Who knows? We may be through.
I've been on radio 14 years. They can't throw me aside like an old shoe.
But, Jack...
14 years. And now, like an old shoe.
But, Jack, you with that and yipe. 14 years is a long time.
Fred, what has Mark Perkins got that I haven't got? Only longer commercials. That's it.
Well, Jack, you know how it is in radio. Today you're a star. Tomorrow Ralph Edwards is hitting you in the face with a pie.
Like an old shoe.
Well, cheer up, Jack. At least we have our memories. We've known each other for 30 years.
Yep. The first time I met you, Fred, I was just a kid in school. A diller, a dollar, a 10 o'clock scholar.
You were the only 10 o'clock scholar I ever saw with 5 o'clock shadow.
How I could use some of that fuzz today. I could use a good joke today, too.
The next time we met, we were in vaudeville, remember? You were doing a musical act.
Playing the violin. What a finish I had. When I played Glowworm, my violin lit up.
With those neon strings, it was beautiful.
Fred, remember my encore?
Encore?
Remember I'd put the violin bow in my teeth, bend the crab, and play Listen to the Mockingbird?
And as you bent the crab, two mockingbirds flew out of the back of your pants.
I stopped every show.
Except this one. Remember the closing...
This one stopped 5 minutes before I got on it.
Stopped with Cash Daly. Remember that week in Needles, Arizona, the closing act, Cohen's Camels?
Cohen's... No,
the closing act. Jack, how could you forget Cohen's Camel?
Cohen, I remember. My sponsor told me to forget that other word.
Those were the happy days. The next time I saw you, you were just going into radio.
Radio. I remember the morning Marconi called me up.
Marconi?
Marconi and Singing Sam had a little radio station in a doorway down on the east side. The antenna was a Western Union boy holding a wire.
Well, I guess
it's...
The
jokes don't fit.
No, they don't.
The antenna. When did I ever say antenna on my own show? Go ahead, Fred.
Well, it's all over, Jack. We've come to the end of the rainbow.
Like an old shoe.
Like, there it is again.
Been on 10 minutes already. I've only had it's an old shoe. Oh, I forgot antenna.
Yeah. We ought to get a boot out of that old shoe by now.
No, I'm sorry I brought it back in again. Seems like only yesterday I ran into the May Company and said, Mary, stop demonstrating that Brillo. That's another word I don't know.
It goes on top of an antenna. Brillo fits on an antenna. Cheer up, Jack. When you're retired, you can tune in on my program.
Your program? You mean you're not getting thrown out of radio, too?
Well, why should I?
Listen, if my program is old stuff, you with that broken-down Allen's Alley.
No, well, wait, I mean my new show.
New show?
People don't want entertainment today. A radio show has to give away things. Nylons, iceboxes, automobiles.
You mean... To stay on the air, you have to give things away? Free?
Yes.
I'll die first.
Well, not me. I'm auditioning my new program tonight.
And you're... Fred, you're giving things away?
Tons of stuff.
To strangers?
What's the difference who gets it?
Well, Fred... As long as I'm here in the studio...
Well, no, I'm sorry, Jack. Professional... Professional people cannot participate. It's a rule.
But don't you ever find people on these programs changing their names to get something for nothing?
Well, occasionally we do catch a phony, but we're on the air. What can we do?
Nothing. You have to give them the merchandise?
That's right.
Now, Mr. Allen, we're ready for your audition.
I'll run along, Fred. So long.
So long, Jack.
Giving away things for nothing.
Well, all right, Mr. Goodman, let's try out my new show.
How would you like to be king for a day? Ah! And here he is, the man who will change one of you nobodies into king for a day, the old kingmaker himself, Red Allen.
Thank you, and good evening. Did all you folks in the audience like those $1,000 bills you found on your seats when you came in? Good, and if you want more, there'll be a big bag of money at the door. On your way out, help yourselves. But the stage is loaded with hundreds of presents for the first man to answer our jumbo jackpot question. He will be king for a day. And here is our first eager contestant. Good evening, sir. What is your name?
Abner Flog.
Mr. Flog, how old are you?
I'm 98.
98 years old.
And don't pin no orchid onto me.
No orchid, eh?
That's how I lost my wife.
On a quiz program?
Yeah. My wife was 102. A fella pinned an orchid onto her.
I see.
The weight of the orchid bent my wife over and snapped her spine.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah, my wife won first prize, but she never knew it.
Well, all right, Mr. Flog. Now for our question. You may be king for a day.
I don't think I'll last through the day.
All right, we'll hurry. Tell me, who was the sixth president of the United States?
The sixth?
There were three names.
Mary Margaret McBride?
Oh. I'm awfully sorry, Mr. Flogg, but for making such a swell try, here is a gift certificate presented at LaGuardia Airfield, and you will get a brand new B-29 and a polka dot form-fitting parachute. Happy landing, Mr. Flogg. And here is our next potential king for a day. Your name, sir?
Myron Proudfoot.
Myron Proudfoot? You look like a chap I know.
I'm not interested in your friends. Start giving things away, brother.
What is your occupation, Mr. Proudfoot?
I'm a chaplain in a bakery.
What does a chaplain do in a bakery?
I put wings on angel cakes.
How long have you been in the cake business, Mr. Proudfoot?
Long enough to know a crumb when I see one.
I see one. Now, don't get sarcastic, Mr. Proudleg.
The name is Proudfoot, and make with the question.
All right. Who was the sixth president of the United States?
John Quincy Adams.
John Quincy Adams is correct, and Mr. Myron Proudfoot is king for a day. Folks, here he is, King Proudfoot. Well, Your Majesty, how do you feel?
Never mind how I feel. What do I get?
Well, First, for His Majesty from Snook's Sport Nook, a genuine no-splash beaverboard canoe paddle.
Here's a canoe paddle? Oh, boy!
And with the compliments of Tiffany's, this chromium pitchfork. For
King! A four-pronger, and it's all mine.
And from Hemingway's hardware store, 200 pounds of self-hardening putty for King's birthday.
Just what I needed. Just what I needed.
This is just the beginning, King. King, you are over 35.
By 2 years.
Fine. That jumbo cotton, Uncle Jim, for His Majesty. He is over...
Effie, that's what? Yipe backwards.
And here, the piston rod from a genuine Baldwin locomotive for His Majesty the King. Oh, locomotive. And here, from Melody Lane Music Shop, this case of 2,000 soybean mandolin picks. These are the mandolin picks.
I just keep pinching myself to believe it.
Immediately after this program, Your Majesty will be guest of honor at a banquet at Hamburger Heaven. Tomorrow morning, through the courtesy of the Sanitation Department, you will be guest conductor on the 11-5 garbage run through the Bronx. At night, in your ermine robe, you will be whisked by bicycle to Orange, New Jersey, where you will be the judge in a chicken cleaning contest.
I'm king for a day!
And that's not all.
There's more?
Yes, we're going to start right now to make you look like a king. Sam of Sam's Super Shoe Shine Stand is here to brush your shoes. All right, Sam.
Sam, watch out for the button.
Next, the president of the Busy Bee Hat Cleaners is here to block your hat. Take the king's hat, Mr. Bumble.
And change the newspaper in the hat band.
Your suit is a little baggy, King. Boys, take His Majesty's coat off.
Wait.
On our stage, we have a Hoffman pressing machine.
Now, wait a minute.
An expert operating the Hoffman pressing machine will press your trousers.
Now, wait a minute! Where are my pants?
Denny, for 15 years I've been waiting to catch you like
Alan,
this.
Alan, you haven't seen the end of me.
It won't be long now.
I want my pants.
Well, if you don't know what day today is...
Today is the day to get out the tall glasses. The iced tea season is here. Time to enjoy iced Tenderleaf tea, one of summer's main attractions. Yes, iced tea is raised to its ultimate best by the use of this richer blend. In fact, the iced tea season has played a big part in making Tenderleaf tea so famous for flavor. Flavor means more. It's more important through the summer months. So everybody sets out to get all the flavor going, and that leads straight to Tenderleaf tea for finer flavor and more of it. In spite of melting ice, the richer goodness of Tenderleaf tea persists. The last swallow of the glass is still delicious, still flavorful Tenderleaf tea. As summer
this
comes
is
out,
NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Oh. Well, not really. This is KISL, Avalon 88.7, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records.